that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel,
it's gonna roll around once more.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, and that old wheel has rolled around again. And it is Saturday morning, May 20-something. What's the date today, Kyle? We're in there, 24th.
Yeah, that sounds right.
May 24th. Almost the last Saturday in May, but we welcome you here to the Radio Ranch live. And yeah, because if this was a recording, we'd have known that date.
Yeah, we would have.
So, but good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, Remnant, and good morning, Holy Spirit. And we welcome you here as well. And so, Kyle, you want to pour a cup of coffee and, well, hold off on the coffee and say a prayer this morning.
All right.
How about that?
We'll do. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord, that we can gather in your name.
Yes,
Lord. And we do ask, as Richard said, for the Holy Spirit to be present among us, Lord, with our thoughts and our words. And let us say something that might edify and exhort one another to good deeds, Lord. We ask for your guidance and directions. I know the Word of God says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? And nothing created can, Lord. You wrote that. But we know that our own selves can do it. And we ask you to help us reel in our fleshly natures, Lord, and walk in the Spirit, Lord, in your Word. And that'll help us establish the law here on earth, Lord, because we need it. We ask for you to be with your remnant, watch over them, guide and protect them, and keep them, as our Lord prayed in John 17, and I know you will, because you always answered the Lord. We ask for all these things in his name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we'll throw it out there to the round table, and if anybody's got something they want to particularly start with, got two types of news. I got the good news right here.
That is good news.
In the Bible. And then I got several little headlines here from the news media, and
it's not so good.
That's not so good news. It's interesting. We look to the, whether it's the news on the internet or the newspaper or the TV reports, and we get news. It's just not good news. But there is good news out there. So didn't know if anybody had something to start with. I'll start off. Branson is coming up fast. The registrations are still coming in. We're, I think, in some really good, going to have some good numbers this year, and some, looks like we're going to have a really good gathering. I know we're putting some things together and looking forward to it. So you've got this next week to register, and that's about it. So pray about it. Make your plans now. The Boy Scouts of America is one of the last vestiges of organizations that were based on Christian principles, and always have been, for God and country type of thing. And they've gone, or at least are, it looks like are going, the way that every other type of Christian organization has gone. you know, the way of compromise and the way of just political correctness. The scriptures say, love your neighbor. Well, that doesn't mean you love your neighbor when they're in, you know, committing sinful acts or when they're leading your children astray. Anyway.
Yeah, but what do you, you know, and also you look at, what do you expect from a former Secretary of Defense? I mean.
Well, didn't you say.
That's right, that's his.
Yeah, wasn't Gates the one that brought in that, okayed all the.
From what I understand, he was, yep. And, you know, he had those agendas and did the same thing over to the military, in the military ranks, and then goes in to be, president of the Boy Scout. What do you think he's going to do over there? Do you think just because he, you know, wants to destroy and wants to bring in this perverted lifestyle into the ranks of our military for ages 18 to 30, what makes people think that he doesn't want to do that to the younger children now? I mean, you know, he showed his MO. He showed what he is. He has already showed his hand, as far as I'm concerned. You know, and where does somebody, you know, that you know, like that, you know, how do they get to a position like that?
Well, they're put into those positions. You know?
Exactly.
That's exactly what they were
doing. You know, but people expect him to change. You know, and to listen to, you know, you look at these, the writings on, you know, since that Gates has become president of Boy Scouts of America, and what people have had to say about him and everything. And now maybe I've seen the wrong stuff. There could be different sites that show opposing views, but, you know, everybody's just praising him on, you know, what a. And it all is based on because he was a former Secretary of Defense. You know, he took that title with him over to Boy Scouts of America, where people aren't asking, well, what did he do as Secretary of Defense? What did he bring in? What were his policies while he was Secretary of Defense? No, but he was Secretary of Defense and you know, oversaw this nation's military. Well, surely he's good enough to oversee this nation's Boy Scouts of America. And that's people's attitude.
Yeah. Jason, I think you bring up a good point. It doesn't seem like our people were asking those questions. But I guarantee you that they, as opposed to us, they already knew those answers. They knew what he did in the military, and they thought he can do the same thing with the Boy Scouts. He can bring in the openly homosexuals, and just, it'll be great. And to them, it is. You know, to them, it is. It is a great thing. First,
yeah, and like you said, it is, you know, with Boy Scouts of America, one of the last organizations to keep it out, but at the same time, they've caved their hand. You know, they've allowed it, and, you know, and now with statements like this, can you even say that they oppose it? No, you can't.
No.
You know, when the president stands up and condones it, you know, is what he's doing is he's promoting an alternative death style.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm.
And, well, look at his position originally. Okay. Yeah, look at his position originally. He was against it because the majority of society was against it.
Yep.
But they change like the wind.
They do. You know, the basis we have is the Word of God. And we don't have to go back to Leviticus. We can go to Paul's first letter to Timothy. And in First Timothy, right there at the beginning, chapter 1, starting in verse 8. And you know, this is Paul, an elder, writing to, of course, the church, but also to Timothy, to this young man that's going to be taking over the reins and going to be continuing on. And you know, he says in verse 2, to Timothy, my true child in the faith. And so, you know, it's a letter of encouragement, but it's a letter of, hey, remember this, remember this, remember this. Verse 8 of chapter 1, he says, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and for immoral men. And I pause there, and I think most of the church world would give you a hearty amen. That's right, that law is for the murderers. You know, now, not the politically correct anymore, because, no, if you have a murderer now, you have someone who kills his father or mother, you know, we have to give him counseling, and we have to, you know, put him in prison for 25 years, and then, you know, get a new liberal lawyer and bring him out, and then say, oh, well, they were spanked as a child, and so it's their parents' fault that they killed their parents. And no, that's hogwash. The Word of God says that this is who the law is for. But at least when you talk to most people, you talk about that the law is for murderers. Murderers are to be put to death. And most of them will say, yeah, they'll agree with you. But let's read on, because this is all in the same list. For those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers. And that's when you get into a little, oh, well, wait a minute. Maybe it doesn't really mean that.
Well, it's obvious here the Apostle Paul was a homophobe.
And a kidnap phobe.
Yeah.
And a murderer phobe. And a liar phobe. And a perjurer phobe.
Yeah.
And an immoral phobe. But, you know, but certain key things have come up in our society today that, oh, they pull it out. Well, this doesn't mean that. This is okay. No, this is what it says. And whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. And,
well, there's 1 Corinthians 6:9.
Absolutely.
Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And Phil Robertson scored some more points. I guess he did a sermon on Easter, and I'm sure the Antichrist infiltrated his church there and got a video of it. I actually watched the video of him preaching, and it was pretty good. Proclaimed what he proclaimed the last time. I'm sure he'll be under fire for that again.
Good deal. You know, I don't know what year it came in or how it came in, but this doctrine of the Bible was written by fallible men, and that it's not, you know, yeah, God's word is the inspired word of God, but the men that wrote it down weren't, and the translators weren't, you know, that doctrine, I mean, that's part of the big part of the apostate church.
It is.
I mean,
yep.
And when that doctrine started coming in, and Christian men, you know, and I say men because I expect more out of them as far as what comes out of their mouth than women. We all have our own job, but when Christian men sat in the pews and heard that, they should have been vomiting when they heard it. It should have upset them so bad that.
And then they should have tarred and feathered that man.
Absolutely.
That did it.
And he should have never preached the gospel again, at least not
right.
In their town.
Right.
And, you know, so now we're to the point where they pick and choose what could be inspired, what ain't inspired, and then, yeah, I mean, it's just.
And the writings of Paul are first and foremost on that list.
Oh, yeah.
You still see.
They
I got an
him.
Email last yeah. week, and it talked, you know, and this false prophet is putting out that, oh, well, you know, you have the scriptures and then you have the writings of Paul.
Yeah.
And I just hit delete.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as Christians, we are either going to believe that Jesus Christ is and was and always has been the Son of God, and that he was in the beginning back in Genesis 1:1, as John says, he was with God, he was God, he is God. And he became flesh and dwelt among us, and he came down and walked this earth as a man, as God in the flesh, and that he died, and that he stayed in the tomb for 3 days, but then he rose again, and it was all in perfect obedience to God the Father. I read Thursday night in Isaiah that God the Father was pleased to crush Jesus Christ the Son. It was pleasing to him because it redeemed us. And it was either crush him or crush all of us. And Christ said, no, crush me. I'll take it. We either believe that. And that this is his word. You know, the word was with God. The word was God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word is Jesus Christ. We believe it or we don't. And when we go in and just get our Sharpie and we mark that out. And we rip this page out. And we say, no, we don't agree with what John read. You know, the homosexuals, because my preacher said they're just, God loves them too. Well, your preacher's lying to you. It's as simple as that. And how do you know if your preacher's lying? Pastor taught us.
The ecumenical teaching that's going on in the churches.
Right. That's
what, you know, it's one of the protocols. They take over the churches and they've done it.
It is. And they preach, they put out what they call the Word of God. But you know, we are a reading society today in America. We have Bibles. You know, we order Bibles by the case from the dollar store. And guess how much they are? $1 a piece. And we send them into the prisons. You know, we've sent other Bibles into the prisons. And so you can read it. You know, you can read the Word and see what 1 Timothy says that we read there, what 1 Corinthians 6 says, and choose for yourself. But especially this homosexual issue, it is just, you know, it is our enemies that have crept in unaware, those hidden reefs in our love feast as a people. And, you know, John, I want to read the next verse where you finished there in 1 Corinthians. You know,
yeah.
You went through it. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom? Do not be deceived. And then it lists just some of probably the more prominent unrighteous of the time, and we're back there today. And then it goes to verse 11. Such were some of you, and I can say, yeah, such were some of me. Not for all of it, but most of it. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You know, that don't mean raising your hand and saying, yeah, pray the sinner's prayer. That is not what that means. That means you repented and you were baptized, but you were washed. You were, and then you were sanctified. You were justified. So you hear a lot about that, sanctification and justification. And let me tell you get it in that watery grave of baptism, and that's the only place you get it. That is the only place you get it. And then where I read in First Timothy, he says this, the law is good, but it's for the ungodly, the immoral. And then in verse 12 he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. And so he says, I was one of those. Mm-hmm. Such were some of you. He says, I was in that group. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant. And I don't know if it was somebody this week was mentioning that a lot. Kyle, I don't know if it was you on your program or Jason on his, about, you hear all this about, or maybe the Solutions guys last night. Grace, grace, grace. You hear all this. This is where grace is shown, when there's repentance, when there's a change. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among who I am foremost of all. And
that, you know, and that's why people have such a problem with Paul. The law people have a problem with Paul because he brings in grace, and it's not any more clearer than it is in Romans 6. You know, and the grace people hate Paul because he still says the law is in effect. You know, so you got all these people hating Paul, and the Apostle Peter says, you know, some of Paul's writings is hard to understand. I mean, he says it in his writings that Paul is hard to understand, you know, but he calls him a brother in Christ.
But it doesn't mean it's wrong.
You know, doesn't mean it's wrong. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, I had an opportunity last week to go up on a Father to go to the mountain church that day, just figuring it would probably be a good illustration, and it was. But so you get there, and it's a small church, rustic, beautiful church, really. And there's probably, I don't know, 50, 60 people there, some older, mostly younger. And you start out with singing Sanctuary, you know, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. So you're thinking, wow, this might not be so bad. So you're singing these old hymns, you know, and everybody's singing, and there's power in that song. And then you get the message, Genesis 18, 1 through 8. Extravagant hospitality and right into the ecumenical teaching, and how we have to embrace our Muslim brothers, and how we have to embrace our Hindu brothers, and our embrace those different sexual preferences, and you know, pretty hard not to just puke. But unfortunately, the guy that I went with to the church, we were sitting like in the front row, so it wasn't that easy just to get up and leave. And I thought, well, I'll just sit here and listen to it. And then came communion. And as you read in their bulletin, this is the Lord's table, and all are invited. If you would like to share in this meal, please come forward by the center aisles. Take a piece of the bread of life and dip it into the cup of salvation. And I've never seen that before. You guys may have, but they had a loaf of bread, and they break it in half. And then you know, they'd go up and grab a piece of that bread, and then...
And it probably wasn't even unleavened bread, was it?
I don't know. I didn't partake, and I didn't ask. But anyways, then they would take the bread and just dip it in the big cup of, you know, either wine or grape juice or whatever it was, and then eat that. And I'd never seen that before, and I was like, huh, that doesn't seem like it's that biblical. I can't remember reading
He goes back to the Last Supper, you know, where they're sitting at the table up in the upper room, and they're dipping. I mean, it talks about them dipping the bread. I mean, so they're trying to recreate that, but then they didn't drink the fruit of the vine, did they? They just had it on their bread. Is that what the deal is?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they took a piece of bread, dipped it, and threw it in the mouth.
So they try to do the one part, you know, recreate what Jesus and the apostles were doing up in the upper room, and then they leave out the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood of Christ, you know. But anyway,
yeah,
I've heard of it. I've never seen it. But.
This is the first time I saw it. And let me tell you, everybody and their brother was welcome to come up and take a piece of bread and dip it, you know, no matter what age or.
There's going to be a lot of people that sleep, you know, like it says there in 1 Corinthians 11, I think it's 27. There's going to be a lot of people that die the second death because of how they've treated the communion table and cup. It's not a game, and they think it's a game.
Even drink judgment upon themselves.
I mean, you can hear about all these denominations, and then of course you got the Catholic Church, but I mean, you got, and they, none of them hardly ever do it properly.
And it's outlined back in Corinthians, you know, it's there in Matthew, I think, in Luke. And it again, you know, Paul wrote, I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And, you know, that may apply to some things, you know, but if you hear this, well, then you can't claim ignorance anymore. And, you know, you can't claim.
These are people that are calling themselves Christians.
Right.
So they're not in the same boat as some guy in Africa that's never heard or seen a Bible in his life.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's what we go back to is, you know, even Pastor, throughout his career, he would say, listen, don't believe me. Don't take my word for it. Go to the Word and see if that's not what it says.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what, that snake preacher didn't want to make eye contact with me. He knew I knew what he was.
Yeah, it's...
And he tried to avoid me like the plague.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good when the spirit of righteousness has a conflict with a spirit of evil like that. I mean, it's good to have that conflict.
It is.
to reaffirm
I tried to get
himself.
Up close to him. I was going to say, hey, do you know the scripture that at least many of you become teachers as you will incur stricter judgment? Just to put that in his ear. But you know, I really believe that he, you know, he's been taught this in the whatever they are, seminaries or, and you know, they've infiltrated the seminaries to the point where, because this guy was a fairly young man, had a talent for music, you know, played a guitar, and had a pretty good voice, and you know, he gets you in the spirit at first, but then there comes the lie, you know, the 2% of the rat poison. And what was really concerning was there were some older people in there that were buying into it. It used to be a time where those older people were a little bit smarter than that, but they're getting sucked into this ecumenical stuff too.
Yeah, and that's not, it's not true Christianity. Not at all.
Right.
Not at all. Let's open up the phone lines. It's about halfway through the program this morning, 307-745-5913. Just got a text from two of my sisters. They're sitting there tuning in. Ask if we'd pour them a cup of coffee. So here you go, sis. Hope you enjoy that.
Yeah,
you're enjoying ours here.
The closing song was the cherry on the cake, though. It was Walls Mark Our Boundaries. And it starts out with, walls mark our boundaries and keep us apart. Walls keep the world from our eyes and our heart. Tables are round, making room for one, welcoming friends we had not known before. So build us a table and tear down the wall. Christ is our host. Well, what do they call, what do the Catholic Church call the communion bread? The host. There is room for us all. Anyways, I could continue to read it, but
I want you to say it.
You wouldn't want to hear it.
Well, we talked a little bit about the good things.
I've had some of the similar experiences in churches. I mean, I tell you what, most of the time, you know, when traveling or something like that and visit a church, that's usually about as mad as I get is when I'm leaving a modern, regular, just run-of-your-mill church. It's, boy, that sure make my blood boil, you know, and, you know, but, you know, you look at it and, you know, how grateful are, you know, should we really be when we walk away from that and we're just, you know, we should be thankful that we got the eyes to see and that we can see through
ears to hear.
Deception, yeah, and the ears to hear and that you can, but to be able to discern that deception on, you know, the poison that they're spewing out of those pulpits, that's a blessing. That's a gift.
It sure is.
And we should be, you know, you think about it, it's like in that, in the Neo movie where, you know, are you going to take the red pill or are you going to take the blue pill? You know, it's a lot easier if you'd, you know, bought into the poison and you're a dumbed down sheep and you're sitting there. Sometimes, you know, you think about it, it's like, you know what? It'd be a lot easier, but at the same time, that's not where I want to be.
Right.
You know?
And that's not what we're called to be, you know?
No, absolutely not.
But
on the bright side, that evening we were playing horseshoes and some other games out there in the fields, and Holy Spirit was working as far as I could tell, and I was basically preaching to him about baptism, you know, and how it's the only way, and that's the one thing that you can really get people on. Show me in the Bible some other way that you can get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. There isn't. And I think three or four of them want to be baptized, so it's Lord works it all for good.
Praise the Lord.
Yep.
Amen. Well, we
they believe that church is the greatest thing, you know. They go sit in that church and think, oh, wasn't that a great service? And I'm like, yeah, it was pretty hard not to pee.
Well, what are you normally used to?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. When I heard that Wall song, I thought of, I'm told that Wall Street goes back to when it was New Amsterdam, and they had built a wall to keep the Jews on one side of it. But Jason is coming in real, like, you know, in the now up there. You mentioned that the other day that it was up there, and the last one is volume 3 on the website.
Well, we'll sure take a look. I thought for sure we had that up there, and so make sure you do a refresh as well, just to.
I did. Yeah, I'm really up there now too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's not up there. I've deleted my temporary files and rebooted it. I've been watching.
You're right. It's not. Yeah. It was up there, and I don't know what happened.
Well, thanks for letting us know, Bill. Okay. All right. Have a good day.
All right, Bill. Thanks. Well, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in this morning. Yeah, there's all types of, you know, we look around in society, you know, we can't have prayer in the schools, and that's two generations now we've had that, and you can't have, you can openly gaze in the military, and this is all supposed to help us. Draw nearer as a society, you know, come together as a community. But you look at some of the headlines, you know, Detroit drivers under siege by armed thieves. Now, you know, you read about that from South Africa, how they literally have built flamethrowers into their vehicles down in South Africa, so that when they come up beside you and stick their gun in your window, you just hit a button and the flamethrower goes out from underneath the car.
Man,
but you know, CNN.
I'd like to have one of those.
Stuff. Yeah, but you know, you see our headlines today. Detroit drivers under siege by armed thieves. Teacher accused of an affair with a 14-year-old student, and that's commonplace anymore. It's called pedophilia, and that's next after the homosexual agenda. You can bet your boots, write it down somewhere that, oh, Richard said on May 20th, whatever, that pedophilia is coming next after home. That's exactly what's coming. And they're pushing it, they're promoting it, they're getting it so that it's just commonplace, this molesting our children. And it is, it's just commonplace. But that's the headlines. You know, teen kills cabbie. Well, you know, when you had prayer in the school, you didn't see these kind of headlines. You didn't.
It's their plan.
It is.
You know, it's all deception because we, you know, I remember I was listening to a message by Pastor Peters the other day, and he talked about that. I forget what the book's called, but it's by David Barton. And it's about that. It's about when they took prayer out of the schools in 1963. And all the... how the decline of everything went. I mean, and it's not a little decline. I mean, it was huge. I mean, like 400% this way and 500%, you know, for all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And the higher ups, those in high places, they know exactly the numbers.
By design.
You know, and the sheeple are just, they're deceived. They think that these higher-ups don't really want that to happen. You know, they're just trying to do the best they can, and it's just like, are you kidding me? And it's like Jason said a while ago, they don't have eyes to see, so, you know, for those that do have eyes to see, we need to, you know, do what we're trying to do now, and that's open up as many eyes as we possibly can, before it's too late.
Yeah, and then in 64, they banned reading the Bible in the school system.
Yeah.
Just a year later.
Mm-hmm. And the headlines, children are raped in school, if not by some other student, by their teacher. And yet we just continue to, bah, no, but that's not my school. No, my school, my public school, I know the teacher there, and she's so sweet, and we don't have that in my school. You want to bet your yeah. Don't deceive.
Common Core is going to fix all that, didn't you know?
Yeah, Common Core is just another road to hell.
I mean, there's nothing like the prayer of children. We've heard it on Wednesday night prayer meeting. There's nothing like a prayer from a child, and our enemies know that better than we know it. I mean, everybody looks at it like, oh, isn't that sweet, that little boy praying? Oh, no, that's power.
It is David slinging the stone.
Absolutely.
And it going right through the head of Goliath. And the
because they haven't had a lifelong of deception.
Right.
you know, where they see certain things work and certain things. They still believe that Christ can answer prayers to the fullest.
Because he can, and he does.
Yep, absolutely.
Let's go back to the phone.
What does the Bible say? At least we become like children.
Yeah.
We shall not inherit the kingdom.
Or good morning. How about that? Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. How's everything?
We are well. Abundantly
good.
Blessed.
How are you doing? Oh, doing well. Doing well. As you guys are fond of saying, abundantly blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, amen. Yeah, I wondered if you had received the email that I sent you regarding the vile witch by the name of Scroggins. Her name is Vera Scroggins. And I've been trying to locate numerous witnesses to her actions. She's a fracking, anti-fracking activist here in Northeast Pennsylvania. And she's appeared numerous times on local talk radio here. And but there's a darker side to this woman. She puts herself out as being a granny. And, you know, there's pictures of her next to her grandchildren and stuff. But there are allegations that she has promoted on this the social media. She has promoted through her postings parental pedophilia.
It's absolutely what they want. You know, 25, 30 years ago, you know, the homosexuals, if they were, they were in the closet. But the more they promote it, the more they can get you talking about it and thinking about it, the more acceptable it becomes. And this pedophilia is the same thing. They put it out, and, you know, and right now we're saying, oh, that's just a shame. Man, that got to be shot. That got to be killed. Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, what's it going to be if it makes it another generation or two? It's going to be like it is in the eastern countries, whether it's India or Saudi Arabia or whatever, where the 8, 10, 12, 13-year-olds, it's part of their culture.
It's going to be like it is in Sodom, what it was in Sodom,
Sodom
and Gomorrah.
Absolutely.
You know,
Canada right now already, I believe they've lowered the age of sodomy to 14.
Yeah, or the age of consent, I think is what it is. The age of consent.
Well, that's what I meant, yeah.
And, well, and that's why.
The age
that's
of consent, yeah, exactly. 14.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the headlines. Teacher and a 14-year-old, you know, are having relations. And it's filth, and it's let me tell you something. God hates it. He doesn't love it less. He hates it. And he hated it in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he hates it today. And
he can put up with it
the
forever.
Word... And the truth then was just like today. It's repent or perish. It's the same.
Amen.
And there's it hadn't changed.
No, we're in the warning period that they were in there in Sodom and Gomorrah when the angels came and spoke to Abraham, and then they went to Lot's house, and you know, those perverts were trying to get to them. We're in that period now. We've been in that period for now 2,000 years. That warning period. And when the angels come back and Christ and whatever saints are coming back with them, it's going to be slaughterhouse, just like it talks about in Ezekiel.
Yes. Hey, Joe, we've got a couple more calls.
Back.
We'll try to get
okay,
to
guys.
Calls, Joe. Thanks so much.
Yep, have a good one.
All right. Got a call here. Hey, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, is that me?
Yeah, that is. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, sir. It's Vance over here in St. Louis. Hey, John, I just wanted to. You were talking about that song they were singing about tearing down the walls. Take a look at Nehemiah, especially chapter 4. That when you mentioned that, it just kind of rang in my head about Nehemiah. But kind of glanced through chapter 4, and it just really coincided with what you were talking about. But anyway, I'll hang up, guys. Have a good day.
Vance, thank you.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
Bye bye.
Yeah, seems
well, you guys will love the last verse of this song. Once we were strangers, divided alone, hate and distrust built a wall stone by stone. Now at the table, the bread that we share joins us to Christ in a circle of care. So build us a table and tear down the wall. Christ is our host. There's room for us all.
Kumbaya. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Have you talked to Paul yet about putting this together?
I don't think so.
No.
Let's go to the phone lines. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Wranglers. This is Caleb.
Good morning,
Caleb. Just want to let y'all know that y'all are coming in a lot better over the radio, over the internet now than you did at the start of the program. Also, I appreciate y'all talking about this article about this issue with the gay. I call it homosexual. Either one's good. It's more correct. But I appreciate y'all talking about this because it really needs to be addressed in a serious way. But anyway, just want to let you know that, and have a good day.
All right, Caleb. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Caleb.
And you know, Kyle, I like the way you put it, that we are, it's a warning stage. And you know, it may not sound to the world that is used to evil being called good and good being called evil. What we've talked about today may not sound like love, but it is love because it's a warning. It's out of love that this is given. Because it is a warning. It's open your eyes, Remnant. See what the word says. See the current events that are going on, the headlines that we mentioned today and the article that Jason read about. You know, this is not good.
Well, just think of the scriptures that you and John read in Timothy and in Corinthians. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're just talking about what we were warned about.
Yes.
You know, and you're warned from the get-go. You know, I mean, and it's just amazing to me how far apostate the church has gotten. I mean, I guess it shouldn't because it talks about it, but it's. I just scratch my head and think, why are you saying you're a Christian when you're so far from the truth? I don't understand.
It's right here,
you know.
Right.
But and it goes back to, you know, God has His remnant who has eyes to see and ears to hear. Not that we're supposed to give up on other people having eyes to see and ears to hear, but at the same time, I'm not supposed to be in as much amazement or marvel at so much, you know, because that's just the way it is, you know.
It is. You know, Hosea 4:6. Well, go ahead, John.
Well, we got a little bit of good news here. I was reading an article that the NRB, National Religious Broadcasters Convention, called for Waterbrook Multnomah, a Christian publisher, to resign its membership because of printing a book called God and the Gay Christian, which is supposedly to be, let's see here, the NRB took a stance and told them that if they wanted to remain NRB associate members, we would have to refer the matter to our ethics committee for review, or they could agree to resign their membership, and they said they agreed to resign immediately. So that was good news. But it says here, the statement from the publishing company was, "We believe it offers a thoughtful examination of Scripture on the topic of same-sex relationships from a bold young evangelical writer whose first calling is to promote a civil, loving, and biblically-based conversation on the subject."
Let me tell you what a loving conversation is on the subject. Be not deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. Whether you're a liar, whether you're a kidnapper, whether you're an adulterer, whether you're a fornicator, whether you're a homosexual. And the list goes on and on. You don't get it into the kingdom. You don't make it to heaven. You don't get to see the saints that have gone before. You don't get to spend eternity with Christ. That's the conversation that needs to be out there. And when it deviates from that, and that is given in love, and when it deviates from that, it's hate. And so what those people put out is called love, a seemingly good, opens up a conversation, you know. No. What it does, it leads you to hell and the lake of fire. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And isn't that the truth? And the knowledge is right here. You know, it's not like it's hidden. It's not like it's written in a foreign language. It's not like it's not going over the out over the airwaves 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at least here. No, the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You had something over there, Kyle.
Well, you can bet. You can bet this Jerry Johnson, the president of the NRB, has got a target on him right now for replacement. How dare you stand up against their agenda?
Probably.
You know, I think of the 70 and the 12 when Christ sent them out, you know, how they went out and they preached the gospel. And I think they did it like probably it says in Galatians 6:1, where it says, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted." Now, I think they did that, but when that wasn't accepted, when the arguments came, well, aren't you a sinner too, or thou shalt not judge. I mean, when all these things came, they dusted off their feet and they moved on, you know. And, you know, I'm all for this guy, you know, having a discussion about this, you know. But the problem is most of these type of people that have these discussions, they don't dust off their feet. They still hug them, and they still want them to come to their church, and they still, you know what I mean? And it's just like, you're the problem, you know what I mean? Because they're lost. They don't care about God. They're already, like Jason said, they've already showed their hands. Now, I want them to turn from the error of their way.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
But it's the ones that just, they want to just keep it going and invite them to the church, and they take communion with them. And, I mean, they're doing things that, well, they're false brethren is what they are.
You know, a murderer can repent. Paul was as guilty of Stephen's death as those that picked the stones up. He if he didn't direct it, he held their coats. He stood by. He approved. He had Stephen's blood on his hands. I think that's appropriate to say. He was guilty of murder, and he repented, and he was forgiven. And so, you know, a sin, you know, something that's a sin can be repented of. And if there's change, true repentance, it can be forgiven. And then you look at the Apostle Paul's life after that. You know, it was 110% for Christ. And so sins, if there's repentance, can be forgiven. But if you're told it's not a sin, what's there to repent of? The woman, you know, in Revelation wipes her mouth and says, "I've done nothing wrong." And you know, that's what this is put out as. Wow, we're running out of time. We got one time for another caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, sir. The distortion I was talking about, it's everybody calling in. Everybody but you and Kyle, basically, who are sitting there.
Yeah, we know we've got problems with the soundboard. We're going to see what to do with that.
What you said about pedophilia being the next, you hit that so right on the head. And it saddens me because I don't think it's going to take that long, and I just see our people falling right into line as they have done on this, and you know, from cops and your next door neighbor and everything else. Well, you know, they have a right to, you know, and it's sad to think about it, but I think those people who are saying, well, you know, these homosexuals have the right to their alternate lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera. They're contributing to this next wave, this pedophilia. This is just, you know, laying one brick down so that the next brick can go on top.
Good point.
Once they get the people to accept the homosexuality, it's the next step, no doubt about it.
Sure.
It's already happening in Europe and Canada.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Yes,
the scripture they hate to hear is Hebrews 10:26. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of the fire which will consume the adversaries. They don't like to hear that scripture.
Yeah, and that goes right along with their First Timothy scripture that we read earlier. You know, that's why that's why the law is made for them. And what's the penalty of disobeying the law? Death and destruction.
The wages of sin
is
death. You know, everybody's heard that. Oh, the wages of sin is death. You better raise your hand and say the sinner's prayer. We're all sinners. They've heard that. And that's a path down to hell. That's not sanctification. That's not justification.
I like how 1 John chapter 3 puts it, because it's in the New American Standard, it uses that word practices. so much, and that helps you understand, because that helps you understand when they say, well, we're all sinners. Yeah, but we don't practice our sins. We don't willfully sin. Yeah, we all sin, and we all have to confess them, and we all have to repent of them. But those who practice it, they don't confess them and repent them. They say that they're not a sin.
Exactly. And that's what I was born that way. Right. Or he was born that way, or she was born that way. No, that's not what the Word says. That's what the Baal priest, that's what you've been brainwashed into thinking. The Word says, such were some of us, but we were what? We changed. We repented. We went and accepted that gift that Christ holds his hand out to give, and then did what we were told to do. Repented, changed our practices, changed our habits. You know, when Saul, who was, you know, basically killed Stephen, when he had his Holy Spirit experience, he went and got baptized. And his name was then called Paul, and he was the voice to the Gentiles, right? And
yes,
and he changed. He didn't stand up and stone Christians anymore. He presented the gospel. He changed. He didn't practice what he practiced before. And that's what we have to do.
Let me read two verses here. 1 John 3:9-10. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. And they are obvious, people.
Yep.
They are.
The one who practices righteousness is righteous.
Continue reading on in Hebrews 10:28. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? Now, that's exactly what they did in those communion services.
Yes.
Is they trampled under the foot of man.
Amen.
You're right.
Amen.
That sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us.
Well, guys,
when you partake of communion improperly, that's what it is.
It is.
Wouldn't you agree, Kyle?
Absolutely. They need to examine and judge themselves and then stop it.
Right.
Even if they have to examine and judge themselves a week later for the same thing. I mean, that's part of being a Christian.
It is.
You know?
It is. It is. And that's where the grace comes in. That's where the mercy comes in. That's where forgiveness comes in. When it's repentance and not when it's practicing that you know, immorality and that sin. Well, there's another hour, guys. We're out of time.
We're just getting going.
I know. Maybe we'll just run a couple hours next time. We invite you to church tomorrow. Come to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And we'll have a good church service for you. There'll be something there for everybody. Current events, scriptures.
Donuts?
No
donuts.
No donuts. But we could do donuts. But anyway, so take time out tomorrow. Again, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and on the East Coast you get to sleep in on Eastern time. But take a couple hours out of your week and join us for church. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you there.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them hell's and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Roll them out, head them off, move them out, big high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
Big
high. Ha! Ha!
Keep moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.